Hello and welcome back to another episode of Something to Talk About. This week I'm joined once again by James. How are you doing this week, James?
All right, Louis, I'm doing good this week. I'm pretty excited. This weekend is the return of F1.
Yeah, it is in Austria on Sunday, the big race.
Yeah. Been a long time.
This week, as you may know, we're talking about a big issue, quite relevant to us. Well, not really relevant to us, but we want to talk about it. We're quite interested in talking about it. And that is an issue of men's mental health, or mental health in general.
But as we're both male, we'll be voting more on
the demographic. We are actually men. We are men now, not boys.
Are we?
We are.
Because we're adults.
Yeah.
I'm
a man of this world.
Alpha.
Yeah. Just before we start this podcast, I think it's important that the listeners to this are sharing this podcast as much as possible and spreading awareness of mental health. And it not only helps out us as a podcast to grow and also helps spread awareness for an issue which is quite a big problem in today's society.
Yeah, massive problem.
So I think to kick this off, what is very important to start off with is setting the scene and giving you statistics. We don't want to overstate or understate the problem here, so giving you statistics will give you a clear picture of the problem we're talking about. So I'll just quickly run through some statistics I wrote down. First of all, mental health obviously can affect people of all backgrounds, regardless of age, gender, race, or social background, and affects men and women differently. On average, more women are diagnosed with common mental health problems than men. However, the rate of male suicide is significantly higher. 1/5 of women are diagnosed compared to 1/8 of men. 78% of all suicides are men, and especially white men. Biggest cause of death of men under 35 is suicide. Number of male suicides is significantly increasing year on year. 73% of adults who go missing are men. 87% of rough sleepers are men. 95% of the prison system are men. 72% of those having a mental health disorder. Men are 3 times more likely to become dependent on substances. Men are least likely to do well at school and less likely to go to university. Men report significantly lower life satisfaction than women in the government's National Wellbeing Survey. And a few more statistics that are relevant in America, I'm not sure about here. Men account for 93% of workplace fatalities. Men comprise over 97% of war fatalities. 79% of all homicide victims are male. And nearly 50% of all fathers without any visitation rights still financially support their children.
Wow.
They're all the statistics I got, and I think they're all relevant to this issue. What are your first thoughts on that, James?
First thing, just something I picked up there, that I think there's one thing that a few people might have a slight issue with, about the male fatality rate in the army at war, or whatever the exact wording was.
Yeah.
Surely that's slightly tainted because pretty much like all soldiers.
Oh yeah, of course. But I mean, you got to, I think that's important to mention because there are a lot of issues relating to mental health after people have been to wars and stuff like PTSD.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is a contributing factor to the problem with this. So moving on from that, James, have you got any personal experiences on mental health as an issue?
Yeah, I think it's good to talk about our personal experiences so everyone sort of knows where we're coming from on this. But so for me, my personal experience is so much of, I haven't been diagnosed with anxiety, but a lot of people have told me from things, like people with anxiety, from sort of traits I have that I've told them they say I have. I just never really have been tested. So anxiety for me will be like going out. I hate going out.
Going out where? To
I think pubs are okay. Clubs I can't do. I hate it. I just don't like it. And there's a lot of other stories.
But what brings it on?
See, this is where I don't know. This is where I probably should go, like that, talk to a professional, so and kind of maybe think what brings it on.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure. I think like if it's like we're like out with the boys, there's like a group of us, what, like maybe like 5 to 8 of us or something, and right, and we're just having like just a few drinks, like in spoons or something. That's cool, like sitting down having a chat. But it's like, but even like if then I have to go up and get a drink or something, I'm walking through a big crowd of people, I'm sort of a bit like, I get quite uncomfortable. And then,
is that claustrophobic?
I don't think it is, because I have never suffered from claustrophobia, like elevators, small spaces or anything like that. Like, never had anything problem with that. And with clubs and that, I just don't, like, even if there's like a big group of us and we're sort of stood together and I'm with people I know, I just don't like it. Like, it's just, I just sort of feel really uncomfortable. I just don't want to be there at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I kind of get what you mean, because I don't have a problem with it anymore, but definitely towards the end of high school, I definitely felt quite self-conscious with myself, and like walking through like the school corridors or through the playground, I was like quite anxious about like people looking at me and I don't know, perceiving me in a certain way. I don't know what it was, but I didn't feel comfortable in the surroundings at that point in time. And I sort of learned after that. A lot of people say it, but just don't give a fuck. I just stopped caring. And then a lot of people do say it, and it's a bit of a cliche, but once you start doing that, your confidence goes up a lot, I found.
Yeah, I think for me, it's not necessarily about... Like, if I'm going through town, I'm not really bothered about what people are thinking about me.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of, like, I want to, like, sort of be, like, also... I want to sort of like not look good, you know what I mean, like look approachable, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all I care about in terms of like, I don't want to look like a weird or anything, but I don't really care if like someone doesn't like me, then like you just don't like me, it's like whatever.
But I had that in high school, but I still felt, I didn't feel comfortable with the people I was around. I actually think on a point of high school, I actually think our year group was quite a toxic set of people.
Our year group.
I don't know if you've found that. Like, my confidence from when I started year 7 to finishing year 11 was significantly lower. And then I found since I left high school and went to sixth form, and like the gap we've had since, it's gone back to where it was before. Because I've moved away from those kind of people, and like at sixth form, I met genuinely nice people that you could talk to. Like, yeah. I went there, and I was kind of scared to start conversations and stuff with people. But
yeah,
by the time I finished it, I was like, yeah, fine. They're like, I realised they're not all how they were at our high school.
Yeah, I think. Well, maybe we've come in just quickly on that with sixth form and high school. The differences would be like high school, it's just anyone is in a school.
That's true.
Sixth form, you tend to be mixing with, and college, you tend to be mixing with people who as doing the same sort of subjects.
Yeah, that's true.
Therefore, you've already got commonalities, like things like similar interests. But yeah, I think in terms of like my experience, like the bigger thing would probably be like the sort of bigger impact of mental health on my life would be like my dad suffers from depression quite like badly. I've had like incidences like where he sort of like cried to me and this sort of thing. It's like, it's not nice, really. From what he's told me, I think it's been like a build up for like a long time, but like he sort of hid it from me when I was younger. But yeah, recently he's had like breakdowns and this kind of stuff.
Has he been diagnosed with anything?
Yeah, he has. He takes medication, like sees help and that. I think a lot of it though, it really sort of blew up. He had this really, really toxic relationship with this like horrible woman.
Yeah,
she was nasty. Like nasty to him, and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, so that kind of really blew it up, and like he sort of felt like she made him feel guilty. He feels like he hates himself and all this kind of stuff.
So it's been a build up over time for him, or like a
key. Yeah, I think that's what he's told me. Because I think he's been relatively successful in terms of his career. So anyone. People who know me know this, but people who don't. My dad works in radio for Coventry and Warwickshire, now CWR. But he's been quite successful in broadcasting. So he was on the breakfast show at WM, which is like sort of a bigger national station. And he's done lots of stuff to do with broadcasting. So he's interviewed people like Boris Johnson, Jeremy Corbyn, David Cameron, like quite big like political people. So he's actually... He's done quite well in this. So he's quite relatively successful.
Yeah.
Like, decent house and stuff like that. But yeah, I think it's just been... So I think that kind of maybe helped him sort of stay sane, if you want to call it that.
What, talking to people on the radio and stuff?
No, just the fact that he had like a good career. Like,
I get you.
Yeah, but I think like recently he hasn't like it sort of hasn't been like obviously naturally without any job, you don't keep going up. You kind of you'll sort of start, as he gets older, get some certain stations kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like he's not on, it's not like he's on a nothing show now. He's on like apparently Coventry and what is Warwickshire's biggest station. And he's had good success on that. Well, it's just I think, and also like the fact that maybe he's not as earning as much as he did. I don't know exactly, but maybe that also the fact that this toxic relationship, him and my mum are divorced. I think that might have helped, like or contributed towards it.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of stuff.
Well, this kind of relates to a kind of fear I have and relating to experiences I've found. So I'll just talk you through my kind of personal experiences with any issues. I haven't been diagnosed with anything at all, and I don't think I've got anything currently, and I don't think I have had anything in the past. But there's only been two points in my life where I have been very low, and the point where I wouldn't want to go out and do things, and I wouldn't want to talk to people, including my own family. I'd just like stay in my room and just I don't know.
When were these? Because I can't recall noticing anything.
One was around like year 11 time, like with the pressure of GCSEs, and I didn't like the people in our year group. And
I think I wouldn't have noticed that then, because I mean we were mates, but I wouldn't, because I didn't have PlayStation, you did. I wouldn't have like noticed you not going on that, and I only would have seen you at lunch and break really.
I'm pretty good at hiding how I'm feeling. Yeah. But the other one was this year, actually, you know, when I took a break from all you boys.
Oh, for a week, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, because it's like everything that could go wrong is currently going wrong for me. Like,
yeah,
I wanted to do pilot training. The whole gap year has been messed up. I wanted to do pilot training. I can't do that anymore with the aviation industry collapsing. Yeah, I wasn't getting on. Wasn't getting on with family. I wasn't particularly getting on with you guys. So I just like that week or so, I was feeling very low. And relating to that, it was never near suicidal or anything like that. So I don't want to say I was. But there were like thoughts going through my head, like, is it all worth it or not? Do I really want to?
You never went to that place of actually weighing up options of suicide.
I was never close. But I mean,
but you thought if I wasn't here, what would it be like? Sort of
The thoughts were there, and it didn't go any further than that. But talking about your dad and his career, what I think I will struggle with later on in life, and what I'm scared of, is the feeling of failure. Like, I haven't made the most of myself. And I already kind of struggle with that, thinking about how I was in primary school and the abilities I had. I was, like, quite intelligent, quite sporty. I had a lot going for me. I don't think I've lived up to what I was capable of. And I feel like when I'm 50 years old and I look back, I'm worried that I won't be happy with what I've achieved and what I've done in my life. Feeling like a failure, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do get that to an extent. Right? I think you come across quite intelligent. I think all of people in our group sort of consider you quite intelligent. But yeah, I mean, I don't really know what your grades like school. I didn't know you in primary either. I think for me, in terms of like achieving things I could have, so when I was, I think from about the age of 7 to, I think maybe I was 14 when I stopped. I did cycling, like competitive cycling.
Yeah.
And I was, and for anyone who doesn't know, I like to tell the story a lot. I was very good. When I was in the under 12s age group, I was ranked 2nd best in the country. And then it sort of, I just fell out of love with the sport, really. I just got bored of it. I stopped enjoying it. But I never
look
really
back now and wish you did carry on.
Well, the thing is, when I stopped, I think 13 or 14, my dad was sort of still encouraged me to do it. He was like, come on, like you've got, and all the coaches and like everyone, like even people from GB coaches would be like, yeah, he's got some natural talent, that guy.
But you went on to race like go-karting, didn't you, racing?
Yeah, but when I was 13 or 14, when I stopped, my dad's like, yeah, you can stop. But like, if you do want to do this seriously, professionally, like you can't waste too much time. And I'm not bothered that I didn't. Like, to be honest with that, I'm not bothered I didn't, because, and even now, my dad keeps in touch with people at the club. and there's, I was about to say kids, they're not kids now, they're my age, who I was beating back then, but I was like obviously a better level. They're yeah. now literally like pro, like probably going to be in the Tour de France like in a couple of years. We've got a girl who was just a couple of years older, insanely talented track cyclist. She has a velodrome at the Olympics. She will be riding for GB at the Olympics. And it's sort of like, I don't, to be honest with that, I don't really regret not doing it, but I do sort of think, oh, maybe that could be me. Not in like a lusting over it kind of way, but I think it could have been me.
So do you feel regrets that you didn't make the most of yourself?
I think with that, not so much. Just I think it's mainly, with that, I don't, but I think that's just purely because I just wasn't enjoying it. That's why I stopped. I just didn't enjoy it at all.
Well, what I struggle with at the moment is like, I'm 19, and then I'm looking around now at other people who are also 19. I'm thinking, look at what they've done with their life. Like, you got Formula One drivers, you got footballers who are getting paid thousands of pounds a week and are really famous. You got people who, I don't know, are really good looking, and they're blowing up on Instagram or TikTok, or musicians, or they go on Love Island, they get loads of brand deals, all that kind of stuff.
People on Love Island, I don't wish like over that life at all. So I just think
But I'm thinking, comparing people my age,
in terms of just
they've got a lot of money now, and I'm just living at home still, and not feeling good about what I've done in my life, and thinking what could I have done if I started doing things earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I think
I know
with
you can't
certain
have
things.
Books, but
I mean, I think with certain things, you kind of just have to sort of be comfortable with the fact that some people just are just talented. Like, you got like Formula One drivers. So anyone who's not familiar with Formula One, there's a British driver called Lando Norris, very talented. Charles McLaren, he turned 20, I think, this year, like early this year, and he's probably a future world champion. So he's already 20. And there's a driver called Max Verstappen who was started F1 a few years ago, and he was 17, which is ridiculous. But I think that, like, you kind of have to sort of be like, for me, like you said, I did go-karting for a while, and I was, I think I started that about 16 and stopped only last year. And I was 8 when I turned 18 and stopped.
Well, I know you say people are talented, but my problem is, and the regret I have, I never stuck to a sport that I really tried at. I mean, you kind of did, but I kind of went around different sports clubs and never really stuck to one. Like, I did football from very little to about 11 or 12, and then I stopped. Or I did golf, and I was really good at golf, and I did that for years. Yeah, it's my favourite sport. I did that from very young to like mid-teenagers, and then I stopped as well. And I just wish I stuck at something.
Can I just say, you have never said to me that golf's your favourite sport?
Not to watch, I hate watching golf, but to play and do. My best sport is golf. I was a very good golfer.
I don't know much about golf, but in terms of age and that, is that too late, is it?
No, I mean, I could probably still get back into golf, but
I was going to say, like, if you really wanted to and applied yourself to it, could you? Things like cycling and football and that, like, you think at our age, 19.
It's kind of past.
Yeah.
Moving on from that, I just want to make a point about someone who's made a big impact on my life, and someone who's changed it a lot. And that is having a girlfriend. I mean, it sounds kind of cliche and sad, but it did make a big impact on me. Because there was someone who came into my life who finally really took an interest in me, was like listening to everything I said, wouldn't discount anything I did, like was constantly there, taking an interest and taking care of me and listening to what I say. And I could, and that gave me something to do as well. Like, I had someone to do the same to. And that kind of,
That's really nice.
That built my confidence. Like, I wasn't looking for girls anymore. I wasn't trying to impress people. Like, I had someone who was there. And that changed a lot. And my parents say she's one of the best things that's happened to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've only met her a couple of times, but I was occasionally speak to her on Snapchat, and she seemed like a genuine, like, really nice girl.
Yeah, before I'd even, like, started talking to her properly, she was the nicest person I'd ever met.
Yeah.
Like, she can't be mean to people. It's
yeah.
You know how one of our friends, like, he hasn't got a nasty bone in his body?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Are his initials? J.S.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I've never heard him, like, being nasty to anyone.
Nah, he couldn't hurt a fly, and she's kind of similar. That's had a big impact on my self-confidence and how I've been able to, like, improve as a person in the last year and a half or so.
Yeah, I think with that, on that topic of, like, girlfriends and that, well, I think, yeah, that's been really, really good for you. And it's, like, nice to hear you sort of say that about her. And I think with that, that's another thing that sort of makes me, like, feel sort of shit. It's, like, my absolute, as it seems, complete inability to do that.
Oh, yeah, but you're only 19.
Yeah, I'm sort of... Yeah, there's been a lot of hit and misses.
I never tried. It just sort of happened. I never spoke to girls before that.
Yeah, I think for me, with, like, when I'm looking, like, with a girlfriend, and I'm sort of looking, like, kind of like, just what you have, like, just someone genuinely nice. I'm not necessarily looking for, like, oh yeah, she's proper fit, she is, or, like, anything like that.
Yeah, I haven't found that either, because they don't last, do they?
No, but obviously you want to have, like, some physical attraction, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I saw Joe Willow say a good thing about this. You may have a really fit girl that you're really attracted to.
Yeah,
but when you start going out with them, though, after a period of time, their looks fade. You get bored of that. You need someone you really vibe with. And that's a very good point you made, and that's what I found with my girlfriend anyway. So, yeah, she's been a real impact for me.
Yeah, it's really nice to hear you talk about
one, like, one that. More thing that's been really beneficial to me, and I hope other people can listen to this and kind of try and take it on board. I don't want to say I got religious, but, and I haven't been going to church or reading the Bible or anything, and I haven't researched any of it, but I started believing that there's, like, something out there, like someone higher up who has a plan for you and is looking over you. And, like, for example, if there is a God, look, he's created everything on this planet, like all the animals, all the trees, all the mountains, all that jazz. Mm. So, and he's decided to create me as a person as well, because he believes I can add value to it. All animals have a purpose. So surely I have a purpose in life as well.
Yeah, I think from that point of view, I don't believe that point of view.
No, I know, but it's. I do find for me it helps to believe.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, I'm like, I don't care. Like, what religion? Like, any?
I wouldn't say it is a religion. I'm into. It's just I believe there's more. There's something else. It's hard to explain, but, like, looking over you in a way, and, like, all the bad things in life that happen are teaching you a lesson to help you improve as a person.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, sometimes something will happen and you'll sort of think, that's not like a, is that a sign or something?
Yeah, but then on the other hand, like, you look at some people and how badly their lives go and you think, surely there isn't a plan for them.
That's what I think in terms of religion. It's like, surely no one, like, you see people who literally have nothing, or, for example, people that unfortunately commit suicide. It's like, surely... Like, if there was a God, I wouldn't let that happen.
Yeah, I kind of agree on that. But for me personally, it's kind of comforting to know that there's something else, like there's a plan for you in a way.
But, yeah, I think for me, I like to sort of... I like to have the feeling of, like, there isn't someone deciding it for me.
So you are in complete control. Mm. From, like, our own, like, experiences, what are your opinions on this big issue of male suicide?
Yeah, I think... Obviously, it's quite a shocking thing when you hear about the stats of it and, like, how lopsided it is towards males. And, like, I think for me, a lot of people in, like, sort of our generation, and especially our sort of circle of people we know, they seem to know about it, but I still think it's not a known thing. Or, like, people will
too much.
People will see
William does a lot on it.
Yeah, or, like, people will see it and then forget.
Yeah, my opinions on the issue. Get a little bit political. I don't want to get too political on this, but I think it does need to be said. Look at the numbers of this. It's obvious, as you say, it is clearly a big issue for men. And I don't want to take anything away from racism here, but I think if you're just looking at the pure numbers of this and the way it's so much towards men, I do believe this is a bigger issue than racism currently is in the West.
Yeah, I think I'd agree, to be honest, because I think as bad as racism is, and obviously it is still a thing, yeah. I think especially in this country...
This needs more...
Focus. Actually, no, you know what? In fact, I think I'd go as far as to say it's in the West.
Yeah.
Suicide is, like, takes more lives than racism does.
Yeah, I put a tweet out saying, who does society fail the most? And put all these statistics on. If you're looking at the amount of, like, if you look at suicide, it's people who have got no more hope anymore. Mm. They've got nothing going for them. Now, if that's mostly men and mostly white men, that says a lot about society and the way society's treating them.
The problem with suicide is it's not necessarily the fact that they won't have, like, in some cases, they will have various chances of them, they can get their life back on track. They just need to talk to the right people, but they're just so mentally ill, they can't see that.
Yeah, it's complex. There's so many complex issues behind suicide, and it's not an exact science of what kills, what the reasons are people choose to kill themselves.
Mm.
But what really annoys me in the current world, and women do this an awful lot, even my girlfriend's guilty of it all the time, it's like, they'd say, well, men just need to open up and get help and start talking about things.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but that is a load of bullshit. That is complete bullshit. And I'm sorry for saying that, but it is. Why is this an issue that's growing year on year? And all they say is men need to start opening up. Men have never done that. Why is it growing? Just because we're not talking. There's issues here that are, like, underlying why men are killing themselves. And it's not because we're not opening up and getting help. It's not.
I think there is something to be said about opening up, because, like, you do hear a lot of cases of, like, they just, like a man will kill themselves and the family's like, we have absolutely no idea. And the friends
will be like, how has he got into that position in the first place where he's wanting to kill himself? There's an issue in society that's making men feel like that.
Yeah, but would you agree that if in certain cases, if the person did open up, they could have possibly gotten help?
I mean, yeah, it's possible, but I mean...
But yeah, I don't think it's the end all.
Looking at the numbers and how many men are killing themselves, it can't be.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not my opinion on it is, and we've seen this a lot with the Black Lives Matter movement at the moment, there's a lot of hate directed at white people for no reason.
Absolutely.
And it is racism, and that kind of shows white men are targeted in society at the moment and made to feel like crap, and they're not worth anything. And the same happens with sexism, and, like, it's sexist when feminists start slating men and bashing men all the time. It breaks people down. So they've not done very well at school. They're dependent on substances or whatever. All these issues I stated before.
Yeah.
And they're not getting any help. And society just keeps telling them they're worthless and they're not contributing anything, and they should feel ashamed of themselves.
Do you think that possibly the whole thing with it is clearly very lopsided towards men and suicide? Do you think it's something to just do with just the way that men and women are obviously very different in many ways? Do you think it's just something to do with how, like, the male brain is? Because, like, obviously women have to go through a lot. Like, you know, you hear about, like, a lot of girls just sort of, they don't, like, they feel uncomfortable walking through a town just because you just get weirdos staring at them.
No,
I think that's obviously
I don't think so
at all.
Because I think, like, it's growing.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know, I think there might be. I don't know, I think maybe I should look into this, maybe, with this particular thing. But maybe there is something to do with just, it's inbuilt or something. Obviously, women do go through a lot as well.
Yeah. Well, I was doing some research on this, obviously, and I came across this idea of why this is growing. And it's to do with the fact, so the UK economy is 80% service-based now. So, and without being sexist, they tend to be more female-orientated jobs where females have the trades to provide good customer service. And I think no one would really disagree with that. Like, some 50-year-old bloke's not going to be as good at customer service as some, you know what I mean? Like, waitresses and whatever.
Yeah, and...
Like,
I think it's that's like, just purely from it's just they come across as a bit nicer traditionally.
Yeah, but this is the idea. It's called the feminization of the economy. So you know how like the whole industries have declined around this country. Mm. Men don't traditionally now have the jobs they like doing and are used to doing, where their skills are best used. So now they're feeling like they're in an economy and they're in jobs where they're not suited to be in, and they're feeling like they can't, they don't have a role in the world.
Maybe it's, some people definitely argue it's wrong for us to say that women are more suited to being a waitress than a man is. I'm just being devil's advocate here.
It is wrong to say that, but it's a theory. And I mean, this is an issue that needs tackling, so we can't leave anything off the table just because of accusations of sexism or anything like that.
Well,
do you reckon we should move on to the questions we've been sending? Because we've got quite a few.
Yeah, we've had a few questions sending, and thank you, everyone, for sending in questions.
Yeah, do you want to read out the first one?
Yeah, absolutely. One second. So how do we, me and you, Louis, as men, or me and you and men as whole, how do we cope when we feel upset? Would you like to start this off?
Yeah, sure. With me, I tend to just sort of isolate myself in my room, for example, and I'll play a bit of FIFA. It's kind of sad to say, but I just listen to some sad songs.
I know this is like a massive, it got to the point where it's a bit of a meme now. Like, oh, when you feel sad, listen to sad songs. But like,
it does help. For me, I don't.
I don't know if this is the wrong thing to do or the right thing. If I'm feeling sad, I'll put on some like happy little, a sing-along song or something like that, the words to kind of like take my mind off
it. I can only do that when I'm feeling happy.
I think I've got to put on like the songs I like, so I can kind of like just like let it go. I don't mean the song let it go.
Yeah. Yeah, good. What I also do is, I think it's kind of comfort eating. I tend to eat a lot of chocolate.
I haven't noticed myself doing that when I'm sad. I think I just eat a lot of crap anyway.
It might be that.
I get away with it now. I'm quite lucky that I have quite a high metabolism.
Yeah, so
much. Pretty skinny.
Yeah. Anything else you do?
Good things I do would probably be like, I'll sort of, if I feel like I'm becoming sort of in a sad way, I'll just try and like talk to people I trust the most. Mm. And like, that might not necessarily be about what I'm feeling sad about. It might just be something like to get my mind off it, or depending on how I'm feeling, I might like actually like
bring it up. I'm the complete opposite. I would just isolate myself completely. I wouldn't tell anyone.
Yeah, I tend to sort of, there's only like a few select people, like maybe 3 or 4 people I'd actually like really, if I was feeling really bad, I'd go to.
As in parents and...
No. I wouldn't go to parents.
Who would you talk to?
I'd go to friends.
The next question is there pressure on men not to suffer with it?
As in, is there pressure on men to not...
Yeah, as like, in, like, be miserable? Should we be, you know, just get on with it?
Yeah, I think there is definitely a pressure.
Appear like the alpha male, in a way.
Yeah, definitely. There's that whole, like, male, like, the provider of the family kind of thing, that kind of stigma.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really feel any pressure on it. I mean, I have no problem talking about it now.
Yeah, but do you think that there is pressure, though?
Yeah, personally, no, but yeah, there is.
Again, I think for me, no. I think it's fine to hide things in certain situations. So if it's at work, kind of to remain professional, you can't.
Yeah, but women would do that as well, wouldn't they?
Even if it's simple as like, you just had you've had an argument with someone or you've fallen out with someone, you don't take that into work. So I think certain things, it's just about remaining professional. Yeah. But I think there is, but again, on me personally, no. But I think that might be more of a how we've grown up. And then sort of, like, if you sort of hung around with people who were like, had that kind of hard stigma, like, tough persona.
Yeah.
I feel like they wouldn't be able to come out as like, oh yeah, listen lads, I've been feeling like really shit and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, possibly. I think that there's a different type of men, isn't there?
Definitely, yeah.
Obviously, but yeah. Another one we got was, do you think people stigmatise mental health because of the dramatisation of young people on social media? And I think yes. Yes, there is. There is a.
Could you possibly reword that question, kind of, so I understand?
So so we know when like young people, they kind of say, "Oh, I've got depression" on Instagram, or whatever, or Snapchat, and they happen. And so, do people kind of think because they've been a bit of a drama queen about it that people sort of discount the actual issues that are going on?
I think with that thing, when people sort of do it for attention seeking, that's like, boy, you cried wolf. Like, so many people say they do, and it's just like for a joke or for like attention. Then, when if they actually did develop an issue, or if there was someone else that did, no one would believe them.
Well, yeah, well, this relates to a friend of ours, and we were worried about him.
So
we were talking to him, and then all of a sudden he goes, "I'm dying."
Well, yeah, he seemed a bit off, as I hope most friends would do. We were just saying, like, listen, like, is there anything wrong? Like, if there is, talk to us. And he said he's dying.
Yeah, so
started panicking.
Yeah, the next time he says
and
something,
he said, "Oh, I'm joking."
Can we believe it?
Yeah, exactly.
I think, people do overreact and state they've got problems when they haven't.
I think, again, that with this, there is a problem with the older generation looking at our generation, and because our generation
snowflakes.
Quote unquote snowflakes. I think because our generation's more comfortable with coming out and talking about these things, that the old generation who aren't used to that might look at it and think, oh, they're just all complaining, like mental health's been a thing for a while.
Sure.
They can't all have it. It's like, no. It's because a lot of people your age have it. They just don't talk about it or they don't understand it.
Yeah, there is a bit of a stigma around it, though, regarding that, because people do attention seek and overreact about it.
Yeah.
Which takes away from the real issues.
Shall I read out the next one?
Sure.
Has toxic masculinity affected the way men deal with mental health, and does it even exist? This is quite an interesting one, toxic masculinity.
Quickly, did you ever see the Gillette advert last year?
Was this the anti-toxic masculinity thing?
Yeah.
So I think toxic masculinity is a thing, but it's taken way too far. As in, like, it's seen as, like,
it's bad to be male. Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's it. That's the word. It's bad to be male. Like, no, like, you can do traditionally manly things, and it's not bad. Like,
I think,
that's like the Gillette advert to me was sort of saying, like, if you're a builder, you must be a terrible person because that's a traditionally manly job.
Yeah. So, I think it is a thing, but all it is the fact that there's a bit of a stigma around men not opening up or crying and that kind of stuff. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's not about having bad male traits, because that's just biology and etc.
Exactly, yeah. I think talk to masculinity, there's certain things where I think certain sort of celebrities are definitely helping this, like, toxic masculinity. So, like, I'm sure everyone has heard of Tyson Fury. It's like, you'd look at him, if you were completely unaware, you'd look at him and go, oh, a bit of a loudmouth boxer, you know, like, he's sort of like a bit like,
yeah, I think that
toxic masculinity sort of thing, like, oh, he's a fighter, so he must be a bit rough. But as many people know, he had to have a massive battle with depression. And,
oh yeah, I did hear about that actually.
Yeah. So I think, he was like, he won the heavyweight championship, then felt like just went to shit really, didn't he? He had a problem with alcohol and drug abuse. And now he's come back and he's, well, in my opinion, many people's opinions, the greatest heavyweight boxer.
Yeah, he's a good role model for that now.
Yeah, so I think if you think about the traditional boxing fan base, might be someone you describe as toxic masculinity. And now they might see this thing Tyson Fury's gone through and gone, it is a real thing. If you think of the heavyweight champion to be the manliest man in the world, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And I think he, in some ways he is, but for those fans, it's quite good for them to see, like, look, this guy...
He's not unbreakable.
He is mentally, fragile as anyone can be.
Yeah. But in response to this question, and it's a bit of a weird one, has toxic masculinity affected the way men deal with mental health? I don't think it's affected the way men deal with it. I think it's affected men's mental health on its own. Mm. Media's constantly bashing men and the male traits we have as if it's a bad thing. And if it, that whole, all our traits are toxic. And that's not the case.
Yeah.
I think men feel like, oh, we don't have a place anymore. We're constantly bashed. No one really wants.
Yeah, but I think you can see both. There's two sides to it. Like my stepdad, from the front, he sort of seems like a you're more kind of man's man. Kind of like we'll do a barbecue. He'll always be the person cooking it. He does lots of different sports. He's always like takes charge when we do holidays and that. He's the main provider for my household. But
breadwinner.
But at Christmas, he bought like a dog chew thing for our dog, and he cried when he started getting happy.
Yeah, that's quite a lot of men, I think.
Yeah, when him and my mum got married, he cried more than her when they got married. Like, there's lots of like you can see there's two sides to it. Like just because he likes to do the barbecue and he likes rugby. Like he's got like a Samoan style tattoo because like is into his rugby and that. And he likes to have a few pints with the lads, but he can also be soft.
Yeah, but I think most men are like that, aren't they?
But I mean, I wouldn't say I'm very masculine at all. Really, I wouldn't think either of us are like manly people, but we're not
the alpha males, are we?
No, definitely not.
One other thing though. Do you think with the like, movement for equality in society, and do you think naturally men want to be, you know, the alpha male, the breadwinner of the family, providing everything for them, looking after everyone? And you think with that and the equality with women and like now the woman's providing more for in some cases, or many cases, it's probably equal nowadays. Do you think with that men are feeling? I don't know how to word it properly, but
like if they're not the main provider, they fail.
Yeah, do you think that, like, just on basic biology, do you think men want to be doing that and now they can't, that they feel down about life?
I think in some situations, like men will. I mean, obviously, you've got extremes of that where you'll have certain men who like to be the, like, I mean, without getting too dodgy. Like they like sort of be like dominated, that kind of thing.
Oh yeah,
that's like you've got one extreme of the scale there. But also, I think there's loads of men out there who are just happy to see their other half providing as much or more than them being successful.
Yeah, I think most of them are. But is it a subconscious thing that naturally men want to be doing that?
Yeah, it's like a natural biological thing, isn't it? Of like man goes hunt. Brings back food for family, that kind of thing.
Basically. I don't know if that's the case or not, but it's a question worth asking, I think.
Well, yeah, you see in the animal kingdom, like our ancestors, like you see like chimps and gorillas, it's like, especially like chimpanzees, and that, it's like, yeah, the men will fight, get to mates, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like, it makes sense.
It's just like, I feel like it's naturally inbuilt that the man is the alpha, essentially.
Yeah, it's an interesting issue. I think that could be something that needs to be explored more. But the last question is, are you for or against medication to help with mental health?
Yeah, I think this is an interesting one.
I really have an opinion on this.
I feel like my opinion would lead towards I'm for it, really, just because I've only had one experience of seeing someone take it, and that would be my dad, and I feel like it has helped him. I think he'd say it had helped him, but obviously I know it's touchable because it can be dangerous. Like,
because they all have side effects, won't they?
Yeah, they all have side effects and they can be addictive as well.
Yeah. Yeah, what I was saying about as in me being more spiritual.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would sit right with me knowing you're taking stuff to actively change the way you think and change your mind. Wouldn't it be better just to leave that to nature?
I don't know, because I think some people, like, they need that like little extra push just to kind of like get going, kind of thing.
Well, how much do they actually do? Like, does it take you from
lying in bed, actually know how much
trying to, I don't know, tearing it apart.
It's not really like a thing. I don't think it's a thing you can measure, is it?
No. I don't know. I don't really have an opinion on this. It is what it is.
I think it would. I think obviously there's ways it helps, or it wouldn't be a thing. There's definitely ways it helps.
And if you want to take it, I guess.
Yeah, don't, I'm not sure if that's brilliant advice, because obviously some people might just, like I said, like, you've got to be careful who you're giving it to, because if you give it to someone who's like
dependent,
maybe worse than they say they actually are, and they decide to down that whole thing, that's not going to be good.
So you are for medication then?
I'd say I am, but I'm not anti not having it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'll go with you with that as well, I reckon. Mm. Yeah, that wraps up all the questions we were sent in. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Quick question.
Yeah.
Do you know what the genders were of the people sending those questions in?
They were all female.
All of them?
Mm.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah, I guess they want to help, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think I think that's quite interesting to hear. Like, probably get a bit more clued in on how male will think.
Yeah, for sure. But I wanted to finish off by like raising awareness for this issue and kind of encouraging anyone listening this far to look into some male mental health charities and donate if you possibly can, because that would go a long way. And I've written a few down, and I'll leave them in the description of this podcast.
I will actually be donating to all of these.
Do you want to read them out, James?
Yeah, we've got, should we do one each, shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. We've got Calm. A lot of people, I think, would have heard that. That's the campaign against living miserably.
The other one is Movember. That's
a fun one. That's a bit of
one
fun
where you grow a moustache, but you can't.
I'm gonna try and do that this year.
I've got no chance.
I haven't been able to do it the last couple of years. I think last year I would have looked just like I've never, like a 14-year-old who hasn't had a shave yet. But I reckon this year I might give it a go. I'm going to be honest, I've never heard of that next one.
Neither have I, but I found it. It's called Papyrus. I hope I'm saying that right.
Papyrus.
Yeah. You go have a look at it if you're interested. And the last one is, go on.
The Mental Health Foundation, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, so if you can, please go and follow those links to the websites and look into it and donate if you possibly can. That would.
Is there a way you can put the links in the descriptions of podcasts?
I'm not sure. I'll have a look into it, but I'll definitely
definitely put them up on Instagram then.
Yeah, I will do. Yeah, and also I want to state with the statistics I mentioned at the start. If you want to know where I got those from, make sure you message me on Instagram, and I'll tell you. I think that wraps it up. Do you reckon we've helped the listeners?
I mean, yeah. I think let us know if this has helped. If also put any questions that. If we haven't answered anything you'd like to know, ask us. Also, I think it'd be nice to hear if we have helped anyone from that.
Yeah, and remember to try and spread and share this podcast as much as possible, because it not only helps us out, but also helps the awareness for this issue as well.
Yeah, I mean, we'll probably do. I think next week we'll go back to the usual, bit more
lighthearted.
Yeah. But we can do something like this again, maybe about this topic, maybe about other serious topics. Maybe we can get a girl on, see what their like the women's mental health maybe.
Yeah, for sure. Or their take on any mental health issues.
Exactly. Again, like, you know, put your questions in, email, on Instagram is a good way to do it as well. Any topic
make sure
you'd
you
like
check
to
out
talk
Football
about.
Friday as well.
That yeah, Louis, do you want to just give a shout out to that? It's more your thing.
Yeah, Football Friday, out every Friday, of course. I uploaded one this morning. We were filming this on a Friday. I uploaded this on Friday morning, so make sure you go check that out. I'm joined by...
I may make an appearance on that.
Not James. But you can join, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But make sure you're rating and subscribing on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and YouTube and all that jazz.
All the good stuff.
We'll wrap it up there. What do you think?
Yeah, it's been a good one. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yep, thank you for listening, and we will see you in the next one. Goodbye.